doing?
Good morning, Chair. Yes, currently there's 3, 4, 5, 6 members on the platform.
Okay. Let me look for the agenda. Okay. Just a second. Good morning, honorable members. The meeting is officially open. Let me welcome members of this committee. You are welcome. Welcome officials from Treasury, from SARS, from FIC, from other departments and other entities. Also welcome the support team from Parliament, from different divisions. You are welcome. Welcome the media, and welcome the public at large. Are there apologies?
Dr. George has apologized, Chair. The only one.
Dr. George's apology is noted. Let's move to item 2, clause by clause deliberations and consideration and adoption of the committee report on the general laws, anti-money laundering and combating terrorism financing amendment bill B18-2022. So are you going to fly the bill on the screen?
Yes, Chair, I'll flat the original tabled version, and then as the committee goes through the bill, colleagues from Treasury can just highlight where there are proposed amendments and then just go through the amendments, Chair.
Alan, have we lost the chair?
I'm not too sure. Beauty, can you just check, please? I'm sharing my screen, so I can't see all the tabs on the computer.
Hey, Pastor Swart.
Chair, morning to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Pastor. Hey, I've connected through an iPhone here, yeah, so it gives me challenges. I'm used to a laptop. There we are. Momo, are you here on the platform? And Vukile, MPs, advocates,
yes,
and the whole legal team.
Yes, Chair, I'm here.
How do you want to take us through the amendments?
So, the clause
by clause, not amendment.
Yes, Chair, I'm going to suggest, and morning, Chair, and to honourable members, I'm going to suggest that we get Janine and MP, who'll walk you through and they've got what they call the A doc and the B doc, so it's against that you should read this bill, but let them go through it. Chair, I may have to leave after an hour because I've got another meeting which I cannot get out of, but the entire team is here and I could come back if need be. But Janine, do you want to take over?
Thank you very much. Thank you, Momo, and thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to ask the chair an issue, please. Chair?
Honorable sir, over to you.
Yeah, no, just as we're going through, I found the legal opinion very helpful. And I'm sure that Janine will just point out where the legal opinion is relevant and where there have been amendments introduced as a result of the legal opinion, particularly when it comes to prescribed requirements right at the end part, where there have been additional amendments as a result of the legal opinion. I'd appreciate that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Sir. I think the team will do so as we have requested. Over to you, National Treasury team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and certainly, Honorable Swart, I will try to highlight where there are proposed revisions that are arising from the legal opinion. So, the first proposed changes in the bill are in Clause 1, and that's on page 3 of the bill. There is in the definition of accountable institution, we would propose to just substitute the current reference to Section 1 and to substitute a reference to Section 1, subsection 1. So that was a technical reference that one of the stakeholders recommended in the comments, and we agreed with that. And then the second proposed amendments are on page 3 from line 12. We would propose to substitute the definition of beneficial owner that was proposed in the tabled version of the bill. And the proposed revised version that's included in the A list that has been circulated, it is based on taking into consideration all of the proposed refinements and comments that were made by all of the stakeholders who commented on the definition, and those comments were very helpful, and particularly as in trying to come up with a definition of beneficial owner in relation to trust property, it was very helpful to to refine the definition. So we've really tried to refine the definition so that it shows all of the relevant categories of persons who might be considered to appropriately be a beneficial owner in relation to a trust. And we've particularly tried to adjust the definition so that it takes into consideration that trusts normally aren't considered to have an owner per se. So we really tried to refine the definition to define the types of persons who might exercise the relevant types of control over the exercise of the trust and the persons who would benefit from the trust. So that's the amendments to Clause 1 that are proposed. And then the next amendments are on page 4 of the tabled version of the bill that are proposed. And in
Janine, can I just say, just to help members, they have got the A bill where you these changes are proposed, right? So members could look at this and just the A bill is it the A bill that they have with the proposed changes?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. Thank you. So the first proposed amendment in Clause 2 is to insert after the word amount the phrase in terms of Section 69 of the Companies Act 2008, And that's a relevant reference to where the maximum amount of the fine would be determined. And that aligns the provision with the similar provision in the Nonprofit Organizations Act and in the Companies Act, which is Section 69. And then the second proposed correction is on page 4 from line 27 to just adjust the wording slightly of subparagraph 1 of paragraph E. It was noted in comments that perhaps the clarity of the provision could be enhanced by making it clearer that the terms that are referred to, which are defined in the Financial Intelligence Center Act, do not include defining the terms of fraud, misrepresentation, or dishonesty. And then on page 4, after line 42, it's proposed to insert a paragraph to also include, as a grounds for disqualification of a person to be a trustee, that if the person is subject to a resolution of the Security Council of the United Nations when acting under Chapter 7 of the Charter of the United Nations. And this reference relates to...
Please pause there. Alan and Advocate Jenkins, how will you propose that we deal with this amendment? As Janine and the team are going through an amendment, do you propose that we pause, she pauses, we ask questions, we agree or disagree, or we allow her to present the whole bill, then we adopt it, I mean, open for discussions and then adopt it at the end? How did we deal with this thing? Just remind me.
Chair, in the past, what we've done is that the committee goes through the table version of the bill, and then if there are any proposed amendments in the A list, National Treasury then steps in and discusses that, and then the committee obviously does its thing, either agree to it or not, and then move on to the next clause.
What it means now, do we have to ask questions as and when they are presenting, tabling a particular clause, or we have to wait until we get to the end? Because I want us to move faster as there are so many clauses here.
Chair, what I think will also help is National Treasury sent through a B version of the bill, which is how it will look after all the amendments have been agreed to. So what I can do is flight that, and then there's no need to go, well, not no need, but the proposed amendments on the A list are included in the B version that they sent through. Then it won't be necessary for me to share and then for Janine to step in and share. So, yeah. Up to you, Chair.
Okay. Momo, then
yes, Chair. I was going to just support what Ellen has said. I think it will be easier for members. So you see what the amendment is if he shows the people. It will be much easier, and then you can come to the April thereafter. But I think the people is better to flight. So you see the changes on the screen. But you can then discuss, Chair, obviously, as we made the changes, whenever honourable members want to discuss. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Momo. Honourable Swart?
No, Chair, I'm happy with that. I think it's important for us to understand that what Janine is going through now is further proposed amendments to the bill as drafted. And I think everyone on the platform would like to have a better understanding of those, how they apply, and we might have an engagement on that. But I think it will be useful if we then can slot it into the B version of the bill and then highlight it where there's been those amendments that are in the A list. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Honorable Sart. Janine, are you able to go to the B list, and then take us through simultaneously on the, all the issues that you want to raise.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Alan. So currently, the long title of the bill is showing. So we can just note that the the wording highlighted in yellow is some minor refinements to the long title that are proposed just to capture the scope of the other amendments that are proposed to the bill to allow the long title to be aligned with the final version of the bill, as it would include, excuse me, the appropriate amendments if the committee adopts the proposed amendments. So there's just some minor clarification of wording in relation to clarifying that a person who is appointed outside of the Republic as a trustee must be authorized by the master to act as a trustee. And that's a proposed amendment that was recommended by stakeholders in their submissions. And then in relation to the Nonprofit Organizations Act, some highlighted wording is proposed to reflect the adjustment of the scope of the requirement for registration under the Nonprofit Organizations Act. Can you just continue down a little bit, please, Alan? Thank you. And also in relation to the Companies Act, there's a couple of minor wording refinements to reflect the amendments that are proposed elsewhere in the bill. So that's some minor refinements to the long title that are proposed. So then I think we can continue through. So in section one, we see at paragraph B, a proposed revision of the definition of beneficial owner in light of the comments that were received on the definition in as proposed in the tabled version of the bill. And this allows the definition to more accurately cover the scope of persons who should be accommodated in the definition. So we really took into account all of the definitions that are, or all of the submissions that were made in relation to the definition. And we certainly appreciate all of the comments that were made by colleagues. It was very helpful to refine that definition. So that's all of the adjustments for clause one of the bill. And then we can proceed with clause two. And in this clause, we just propose the inclusion of a reference to Section 69 of the Companies Act, where the fines are determined. And also just some minor clarification of wording. Then at paragraph F, we propose a reference to a ground for disqualification where a person is subject to a resolution adopted by the Security Council of the United Nations when acting under Chapter 7 of the Charter of the United Nations. It was proposed by colleagues from the Civilian Secretariat of Police and the National Prosecuting Authority that it was also relevant in addition to the offenses relating to anti-terrorism and anti-money laundering, that we should also make reference to the U.S., a person subject to U.N. sanctions. And then there is a proposed new subsection that would indicate that the period of disqualification of a person in relation to being subject to U.N. sanctions would only extend to the period in which the person is in fact listed on the U.N. sanctions list and would end after they might be removed from the U.N. sanctions list. And then we just renumber the rest of the subsections in that section. Then it is proposed to include a new section, new clause in the bill to amend Section 8 of the Act to clarify that a person who is appointed outside the Republic as a trustee may only act as trustee if they are authorized by the Master of the High Court. It was noted in comments that that was not necessarily clear in the Act as it currently stood, if foreign trustees would be captured in the Act and be subject also to the new requirements that we are including in the bill that would trustees would be subject to. So we propose this amendment to clarify that. And then looking at, well, there isn't really an amendment to clause 3 of the bill that's proposed. And then looking at clause 4, we're just recommending there needs to be just a correction of the formatting and the paragraph numbering in that clause. And then in clause 5, we're not proposing any amendments to that clause. And then in clause 6, we're just proposing a correction of one of the paragraph references in the clause. So that's a technical correction. And then we're not proposing an amendment to clause 7 or 8. Oh, actually, clause 9 of the table version of the bill. We are proposing just to insert a couple of references to registered nonprofit organizations to make it clear that the requirements would apply to those nonprofit organizations that are required to register in terms of the Act or which voluntarily register under the Act. And then in clause 10, in the proposed new subsection 2, we would propose to add another subparagraph that would allow the directorate potentially to delegate to another organ of state specified administrative functions. And it is proposed to provide for this in order to enable the directorate to take steps to ensure that all of the functions that would need to be performed under the Act would be NPO Act would be able to be performed. And this is in light of the comments that were received from stakeholders and members, you know, that it must be ensured that the directorate is properly enabled to perform all of the functions required in terms of the Act. So we're trying to enable the full possible scope of arrangements to be entered into that could assist the directorate to ensure that the required functions are performed.
And Chair Swatcha, should we not engage as we're going along, Chair? I just wanted to better understand. Could Janine just give us an example of that? Because I know the NPO sector were asking for an independent body to perform this function. Obviously, it's not been included. But could you just give us an idea of what would be another organ of state? Would this be such as I raised the argument of existing registration already with SARS as a non-profit as a public benefit organization. Would that be what is in mind here, or what is in mind here? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, potentially what might be undertaken, and it would be up to the directorate to determine sort of the precise nature of arrangements that might be engaged in under this section with other organs of state. But potentially, maybe if another organ of state had, say, a system that was appropriate to support the maintenance of the register or some expertise or capacity to assist with the maintenance of the register of information, for example, that the directorate is required to maintain. The directorate potentially could enter into an arrangement perhaps to have some staff seconded or have some, maybe even make use of some systems that might already be operational and in relation to another organ of state. At this stage, there isn't, you know, really any specifics that have been outlined in this regard, but it was identified in light of the comments that we should enable appropriate arrangements to be able to be entered into that might be identified. And so that is what we have tried to enable in terms of the legislation. And there will also be the forthcoming amendments to the Nonprofit Organization Act in terms of their processes. You know, that legislation is already under development. And so there may be some proposals in that legislation as it's ultimately tabled in Parliament that would relate to, you know, how the directorate will perform its functions and how it will be situated and how it will be structured. So those may be forthcoming proposals that the Department of Social Development may be proposing in that legislative process. And so I think we were mainly trying to be facilitative and not, you know, really setting out specific proposals at this stage, but we were wanting to certainly take into consideration the comments that were received by stakeholders and members and try to enable some potential arrangements to facilitate the directorate to be undertaken. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Janine. You can proceed.
Thank you very much. So then the next important amendments that are proposed relate to Clause 11 of the bill, and this relates to the registration of nonprofit organizations. And so in light of the submissions received on the bill, it was noted that we should not be proceeding with a blanket requirement for compulsory registration of nonprofit organizations. And so in subsection 1, we are now providing that certain nonprofit organizations, which are referred to in paragraph B, would be required to register. And we mentioned these categories in our previous proposals in the presentation in previous meetings. So that would be nonprofit organizations who make donations to individuals or organizations outside of the Republic, and also those that might provide humanitarian, charitable, religious, educational, or cultural services outside of the Republic. Other nonprofit organizations would still be able to apply voluntarily for registration as nonprofit organizations. And nonprofit organizations that are required to register that may already be operating, they would need to apply to register within a period that will be specified by the minister by notice in the Gazette. Now, this is a provision. We have also made a refinement in this provision in light of the legal opinion from senior counsel that was obtained. Previously, the provision had referred to licensing requirements that would be set and also transitional arrangements that would be set. And counsel noted that it would be preferable not to provide for additional licensing requirements in subordinate legislation, in regulations, but rather that all requirements should be specified in the primary legislation. And so we have removed references to other prescribed licensing requirements. And so the requirements that would be applicable would be those requirements and procedures that are already set out in sections 13, 14, and 15. And there would not be additional transitional arrangements really that would be necessary, other than to set a period within which registration, applications for registration must be submitted. And we had already indicated that there would be a notice that would set a date in which applications for registration must be submitted. So in this section, we really did try to take into consideration the recommendations of senior counsel in the legal opinion. And those were the two aspects that they particularly highlighted would be beneficial to address in the bill in order to ensure that it was constitutionally compliant. So we have endeavored to take into consideration and implement those recommendations.
So then, may I tell me?
Yes, thank you.
Honorable Sir.
No, thank you. I think this is helpful. What I just wanted to understand that paragraph D, which in red, can you just unpack that a bit? I appreciate the legal counsel, the prescribed registration requirement has been done away with, the licensing requirement, but I just don't quite understand D, where it says, I understand the application for a registered nonprofit organization, but what I don't understand a nonprofit organization which is not registered in terms of the Act. Why must it comply with requirements of the Act? Maybe we can just unpack that a little bit, because if one would then have to look at what the new NP Act amendments in general are considering when it comes to the distinction between the two. I'm not quite sure in that insertion of D. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Sot. Any clarity? Janine and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sot. So what paragraph D is intending to convey is that if a nonprofit organization is now required to register in terms of the Act under paragraph B, even if they then decided to not obey that requirement and to not apply to register under the Act, they would still be bound to comply with the requirements of the Act. This is an aspect of, so that you don't have people who just refuse to register or become licensed in terms of legislation when they're required to do so, and then they go on carrying on activities. For instance, in this case, you know, not providing the information that they would be required to provide. And so then the legislation would be ineffective because you would have institutions that are effectively contravening the legislation and effectively ignoring the legislation. So that is what the paragraph is intended to do, so that there couldn't be entities who are required to be licensed but wouldn't be and could just sort of ignore and refuse to comply with the requirements of the Act. So that's the intention of paragraph D. I don't know if there are any follow-up clarity that you would like, Honorable Schwartz.
Okay, thank you. None of that. I see that it only pertains to a B, sub B. So that makes it very clear. It's only those that are required to register under B. So thank you for that clarity.
Okay, thanks, proceed. Thank
so then we add some references in paragraphs B and C to ensure that it includes the nonprofit organizations that are required to be licensed and also then we would propose after subsection B subsection 3, we would propose to add a new subsection that says the director, when considering an application for registration in section 13, after having received amendments to the Constitution in terms of subsection 9, in terms of section 19, or at any other time, may only require the nonprofit organization to make an alteration to its constitution to ensure that the constitution addresses matters referred to in subsection 2. So that is trying to clearly delimit the scope of the powers of the director and make it clear that they can't be requiring amendments to the constitution of nonprofit organizations, except to ensure that the constitution in fact addresses the matters that are required to be addressed. Now, something I've just noticed in paragraphs B and C, I think that if we just go back up So actually in paragraphs B and C, the reference to subsection 1A should actually be references to subsection 1B. I've just noticed that actually should be 1B instead of 1A in those two provisions. I'm just wanting to just double check here.
I see somebody's writing something on the chat, Janine, in regard to what you're going through. Whether it's Nicole or who. Nicole, are you in the platform?
Sorry, I am. I wasn't trying to help Janine with the things she's looking at now, but just with a cross-reference inside of paragraph 4.
Are you done, Nicole?
I don't want to interrupt Janine's thoughts on what she's trying to think about, because I wasn't referring to that thing that she's thinking about. I was referring to a cross-reference in item D, which is in subparagraph 4, and she's looking back another reference.
So I think we should propose a correction just to refer to subsection 1B instead of 1A in the proposed refinements to paragraphs B and C of the clause. So if members would be agreeable, we could just make that correction in the A list so that it refers to the correct paragraph. And my apologies for that. I just noticed that now. Thank you. So if the committee is agreeable, we could make that correction there.
Chair, let's agree to make that amendment.
Okay, thank you very much. And then the next proposed clause is a new clause to amend section 13 of Act 71 of 1997. And it is proposed to amend the clause, firstly, to adjust the wording at the beginning of subsection 1 slightly to say that a nonprofit organization applies for registration instead of may apply, because now certain nonprofit organizations would be required to apply for registration. And then afterwards, it's proposed that two new subsections would be inserted to include to clarify that the director may only refuse to register a nonprofit organization on the grounds that the applicant has not complied with the requirements for registration in Section 12 or has not complied with a notice in terms of subsection 3. So that's clarifying that the director has limited powers in terms of which it can, grounds on which it can refuse to register a nonprofit organization. And also to clarify that the procedure already set out in Section 13 must be complied with. So it's more just ensuring that there is clarity in the section regarding the scope of powers of the director in relation to refusing to register a nonprofit organization. So this is in fact sort of already the case in terms of the section, but this is making it explicitly clear so that nonprofit organizations can have comfort on the scope of the powers of the director. And then we move to clause 13. And in that clause, we propose in the insertion of a subsection 1B that would provide that a registered nonprofit organization must ensure that the information referred to in subsection 1BA must be provided to the director is kept up to date. And that was a proposal from stakeholders that we certainly agree with. Then moving on to will now be clause 14 of the bill, section to amend section 24 of the Nonprofit Organization Act. And in this section, we're just proposing the insertion of references to registered nonprofit organizations to ensure clarity in the scope of application of the sections. And a minor correction to punctuation. And then in the next provision is inserting the new proposed Chapter 3A, Office Bearers of Nonprofit Organizations, and disqualification and removal of office bearers. So in that section, we just propose a reference to registered nonprofit organization and some clarity. These are similar amendments to what we proposed in relation to the Trust Property Control Act, provisions relating to the disqualification of trustees, to clarify the wording in subparagraph E1. And then if we can continue down further, then again, we would propose the insertion of a ground for disqualification where a person is subject to sanctions by the United Nations, and also specifying the duration of the period of disqualification. So that's similar to what we proposed in relation to the provision in the Trust Property Control Act above. Then we can continue down further. And again, mainly we just propose insertions of registered nonprofit organization where appropriate. Then we propose the insertion of a new clause 16 in the bill to amend section 21 of the Nonprofit Organizations Act. And we propose the insertion of a new subsection 4 to clarify that the director may only cancel the registration of a nonprofit organization as contemplated in section 20 and this section. And so that also is in response to concerns that were raised in submissions to the committee that the directorate should not be had the potential to use the powers to deregister a nonprofit organization to potentially infringe on any rights of nonprofit organizations. So this is really, again, clarifying what's already provided in the legislation and making it just a bit more explicit. And then we propose amendments to Section 29 of the Nonprofit Organization Act. And instead of proposing contraventions for offenses for contraventions of Section 12.1b and 18.1b(a) of the Act relating to requirements for licensing and provision of information, we would now propose that they be contraventions and be subject to an administrative sanction. And this was, again, in response to some of the submissions that were received by the committee, and we agreed with those submissions. And then...
Honorable
Salt, over to you.
Yes. As the provisions at present state out, this is helpful because an administrative sanction is less severe than a normal penalty, which under Section 30 is liable to a fine or to imprisonment, or to both a fine and imprisonment. So could you give us an idea, and this will obviously be set out in the regulations, as to what an administrative sanction would be? And I know National Treasury is more, it's set out in various pieces of legislation. I suppose it's difficult to gauge what an amount would be, but I think what is helpful here is the understanding that it is a financial sanction and not a term of imprisonment, as is under Section 30, which speaks about a fine and imprisonment under other offences in terms of the Act. But maybe just explain to us what the thinking is for those that are not aware of what an administrative sanction means. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, an administrative sanction would definitely not involve a potential term of imprisonment. It quite likely, commonly, it involves a fine, but there may be non-financial actions that might potentially be taken. Maybe notices or directives to comply or other potential types of measures, or maybe sort of in combination with some sort of financial sanction, but it would definitely not involve a term of imprisonment. I think it will be explored potentially with the Department of Social Development in the Nonprofit Organization Act, how they might provide more detail about the administrative sanctions in their legislation. So we agree that potentially there should be ultimately more clarity provided about the nature of the administrative sanctions. And so we would certainly engage with them as they may further develop their legislation. But it certainly would not involve a potential term of imprisonment. It would potentially involve a financial sanction proportionate to the nature of the contravention, or potentially other non-financial measures, to promote compliance or ensure compliance with the legislation. Thank you very much. That was a very helpful question. So I think maybe we then can proceed further.
Yes, please proceed.
So in quite a number of the subsequent clauses, we're not proposing any amendments or refinements, especially in relation to the provisions relating to the amendments to the Financial Intelligence Center Act. So then here we are proposing just a slight clarification of the wording in subsection 4C2, just to clarify the wording, just to say if a founder of the trust is a legal person or a person acting on behalf of a partnership or in pursuance of the provisions of a trust instrument, the beneficial owner of that legal person, partnership, or trust. It was just recommended by colleagues that perhaps some slight clarification of that provision would be helpful, just to ensure that the scope of the provision is appropriate. And then just going down slightly, we just propose refinements to, instead of referring to trust deed, which is commonly used term in relation to trust instruments, but in the Trust Property Control Act, the term that's used is trust instrument and not trust deed. So we would just propose to include that wording in the provisions in the FIC Act. And then we can continue. Again, there are quite a few provisions where we're not proposing any revisions in relation to the FIC Act. And in relation to Clause 30, it is proposed not to proceed with the amendment to insert the new subsection 1A. It was identified ultimately that would not be appropriate to proceed with. So we would propose the deletion of that amendment relating to the insertion of subsection 1A. And then we can continue. And then in clause 35, we're in response to some comments that were received in submissions, we are just proposing some refinement to the wording of the proposed subsection 3, just to clarify that the minister may prescribe requirements for the protection of personal information to facilitate the sharing of information between accountable institutions when the sharing of information is necessary for the purposes of carrying out the provision of section 29 to ensure that adequate safeguards are in place as required by section 61C of the Protection of Personal Information Act. So it's more a bit of a refinement of the wording. The intention and substance of the subsection is essentially the same, but it was recommended that the wording could be refined a bit. So we agreed with those proposals. And that completes the amendments to the FIC Act. Now, in relation to the Companies Act, there are a few refinements proposed to the amendments. The first is in Section 1 of the Companies Act. It's proposed to insert a new definition of affected company, which would mean a registered company, as set out in Section 117(1)(i), and a private company that is controlled by or a subsidiary of a regulated company as a result of any circumstances contemplated in Section 2, Subsection 2A, or 3, Section 3, Subsection 1A. And so this proposed amendment relates to an approach that we are suggesting be adopted to set out reporting requirements in relation to listed companies and private companies that might be slightly different from the requirements that would be applicable to other companies. All companies would have reporting requirements in relation to beneficial ownership and beneficial interests, but in light of the submissions that were made by the JSE and some other commentators, we took those into consideration. And so in the proposed refinements to the amendments to the Companies Act, we're proposing to provide for appropriate requirements that would be applicable to the listed companies and also private companies that are controlled by a subsidiary of a regulated company under the Companies Act. So we've tried to come up with a slightly differentiated approach that would hopefully allow for an appropriate reporting regime to be applied under the Companies Act in relation to beneficial ownership. So some of the other amendments that we will propose to the other provisions relating to the Company Act are intended to provide for that appropriate approach. Then we also propose amendments to the definition of beneficial owner. And again, these are in light of the submissions that were received from quite a number of stakeholders that were taken into consideration. And we have endeavored to develop a revised definition that is appropriate and really takes into consideration the context of the Companies Act in which it is required to operate. So this revised definition of beneficial owner is intended to appropriately define the content of the of what a beneficial owner means in the context of the Companies Act. I think we can continue further down. And then in the amendments to Section 33 of the Companies Act, we just propose an adjustment of the reference to refer to Section 56, subsection 7, small a, capital A. And then going further in the amendments to Section 50 of the Companies Act, we propose the insertion of wording to refer rather to a company that does not fall within the meaning of an affected company. So then the requirements in that subsection, new subsection 3A that would be inserted, would be applicable to those companies that are not affected companies. And then in other amendments, we then provide for the requirements that would be applicable to the affected companies as they would be defined under the Companies Act. And then in Section 56 of the Companies Act, we would now propose to insert a new amendments to subsection 7 to refer to an affected company must establish and maintain a register of the disclosures made in terms of this section. So that subsection would apply to affected companies. And then a new subsection, a new paragraph A, capital A, would be inserted in subsection 7 to then require the affected companies to establish and maintain a register of the persons who hold beneficial interests equal to or in excess of 5% of the total number of securities of that class of issued by the company, together with the extent of those beneficial interests, and ensure that this register is updated within the prescribed period after having received a notice contemplated in Section 122, subsection 1. So then this then sets out some of which of the reporting requirements in relation to affected companies. So it sets out which persons they would need to report information in respect of, So it says a minimum threshold, and those, so then it clarifies for the affected companies what information they would need to be reporting. And then going down to paragraph D, we would then propose to refine the wording to say, again, a company that does not fall within the meaning of an affected company must file a record with the commission. So that subsection would then apply to those companies that are not affected companies. And we would also propose to refer to individuals in that subsection instead of natural persons. And then we would also propose to insert a new subsection 14 to require that the commissioner must maintain a register of the information contained in the records contemplated in subsections 7C and 12. So that indicates there's requirements on the commission to maintain a register of that information. And then we would propose some amendments to Section 69 of the Companies Act, particularly, again, in line with the provision to the amendments in the Trust Property Control Act and the Nonprofit Organization Act. We would, again, propose the inclusion of, for a ground of disqualification where a person is subject to a resolution adopted by the Security Council of the United Nations when acting under Chapter 7 of the Charter of the United Nations, and then similarly provide for the period in which such a disqualification would last for the, and that would be for the period in which the person is subject to the resolution of the Security Council. So we can continue down further. And then finally, we would propose an amendment to Section 122 of the Companies Act as a new clause 60. And instead, we would propose that subsection 1, instead of referring to a regulated person or a regulated company, should rather refer to an affected company. And then we would propose the insertion of a new subsection 3A that would provide that an affected company that has received a notice in terms of this section must file a record of that notice with the commission in the prescribed form and containing the prescribed information and within the prescribed period after having received that notice. So then this again would set reporting requirements for those companies that are defined as affected companies. And then we would provide in new subsections 5 and 6 that the prescribed requirements regarding the information that must be reported must be prescribed after consultation with the Minister of Finance and the Financial Intelligence Center, and also to require that the Commission must maintain a register of the information contained in the notices contemplated in subsection 3A. So that then completes the refinements proposed to the provisions relating to the Companies Act. And then finally, we would propose in the amendments to the Financial Sector Regulation Act, the substitution of the definition of beneficial owner to read in a much more simplified form, to say that a beneficial owner means a natural person who directly or indirectly ultimately controls a financial institution or exercises effective control of that financial institution. And this again is proposed after taking into consideration on the of the submissions on the definitions of beneficial ownership in the Act. So then I think that completes the proposed amendments to the bill that we would recommend that the committee consider and potentially adopt. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Janine. and the National Treasury team for the presentation. Honorable members, that's where we are. Clarity, seeking questions, comments before we move to adopt. Honorable Swart, over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the input. I think we've come a long way. We will still obviously need to consult, but I wanted to just check about the issue related to the transitional relationship, the transitional clause under the A list. I don't know if when we were going through the bill, whether you made mention of that, and there was a deeming provision as well, which I seem to have missed, a deeming provision where the director does not register within a certain period, it is deemed to have been registered. I seem to have seen that under the A list, but I might have missed it. Can I just have clarity on that issue? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Swart. National Treasury, can you clarify, Honorable Swart?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Swart. Yes, there is a provision, and that's in the amendments to Section 12, I think it is, of the NPO Act. Sorry, I'll just look at the A list here just so I can confirm. And apologies for not having mentioned that provision. So yes, under a proposed subsection 8, that would be included in Clause 12 of the bill, amending Section 13 of the NPO Act, it would provide that a nonprofit organization that has submitted an application for registration is deemed to be registered unless and until the director has given notice to the applicant in terms of Subsection 3 and the process envisaged in terms of Subsection 4 to 6 has been completed. So an applicant would be effectively considered to be registered once they have submitted their application, unless and until the director has issued and may issue a notice that it is of the view that the nonprofit organization does not comply with the requirements for registration, and then there is the process that can be undertaken to where the nonprofit organization has a period within which they can take steps to comply with the requirements that may have been highlighted by the director. And only after the nonprofit organization has been given that opportunity to comply and may ultimately not have taken steps to comply, would the director be then able to refuse the registration of the nonprofit organization. And at that stage, they would not be considered to be registered. But the provision is intended to give a bit of certainty and comfort to nonprofit organizations that may already be operating and have had to apply for registration, that they can continue to operate and that they are considered to be registered unless potentially there is some issue that might be identified through the appropriate process that they might in some way not comply with the specified requirements in the Act, and then they must be given the opportunity to comply with those requirements. So yes, that is the intention of that provision, and thank you for highlighting that provision, and my apologies for not having noted that as we went through the provisions earlier. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. May I just add that I think what is very important to note is that it is an objective determination based on jurisdictional facts by the director. There's no subjective discretion, as I understand it, and I think the legal opinion confirms that as well. There's no value judgment or anything that the director can apply when coming to apply the criteria as to whether the registration is accepted or not. So I think that does give one some level of comfort as well. And obviously any decision is also reviewable, although one doesn't want to go that route. But I think the legal opinion makes it very clear there is no subjective discretion allowed for the director in considering any application. Would you be in agreement with that? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Honourable Swart. That's certainly the intention, and that would be our understanding also. Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Swart. Any other clarity, speaking question or comment before we move to the adoption of the clauses? Okay. Alan, Advocate Jenkins, can you please remind me, do we have to go clause by clause to adopt, isn't it?
Yes, Chair. I'll let Frank advise the committee, but just to note that the committee essentially went through the entire bill as was presented by Janine. So I'm not sure, but Frank can advise whether the committee can then just adopt the bill based on that. And then after that, the committee should look at the committee report. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. Yes, Alan is correct. It must be done clause by clause. So Chair, the rules require that it's adopted clause by clause. The method of doing that, Chair, one can just read out. We don't have to read out every clause, all the provisions, but just clause one, clause two, clause three. In huge bills, I'm talking about a few hundred sections. I remember the Financial Sector Regulation Act, we went page by page. But in this instance, it's up for the committee to decide, but we have to quickly go through that just to see that everybody is on the same page and same clause. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Alan and Advocate Jenkins. Let's go clause by clause. You just mentioned clause one. We agree without reading, okay? Clause two, clause three, then we'll adopt the bill at the end. Let's go back, put the bill on the screen. There we are. I'm using an iPhone here. I'm struck. Janine, can you assist with numbering of the clauses so that we are correct in terms of each and every clause? I'm using an iPhone here. It's not like when I'm using a laptop, which is much bigger in terms of the font. Which clause is this? Or we have to start on the object of the bill up there. Go up, Alan. Yeah. I think we have to also adopt the object of the bill. Agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Janine, please assist with these clauses. How do you call them? Is this clause
okay.
What?
This would be clause one. Thank you.
Okay. Agreed, Honourable Members, with clause one?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
With all those subsections. Okay. The next clause, Alan and Janine?
Clause two?
There we are, honourable members, those two. Do you agree?
Agreed, Chair.
Morolo, agreed. The next clause?
Clause 3, the new clause 3.
Okay, there we are, new clause 3. Agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Clause 4.
There we are. Clause 4.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause.
Clause 5.
Clause 5. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause.
Clause 6.
Clause 6, honorable members.
Agreed.
Agreed, Homa Village. The next clause, Jenny.
Clause 7.
Clause 7, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause.
Clause 8.
Clause 8. Honourable Swart.
The ACDP would like to reserve our position on the NPO clauses. We'd just like to consult further. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Secretariat, let's note that the reservation by the ACDP on those clauses. Let it be recorded. The next clause, Janine.
So I think we did clause 8. Clause 8.
Agreed on clause 8, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause.
Clause 9.
Clause 9, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Uma Vileza. The next clause.
Clause 10.
Clause 10, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 11. And just to note, there would be the minor correction that members agreed to, just to the referencing in paragraphs down below in paragraph D, just to refer to subsection 1B instead of 1A. So we'll just make that adjustment in the final A list, if that's agreed by members.
Yeah, there we are, honorable members. That's the long clause 12 with 1, subsection A, B, A, Roman Fica, 1, 2, then C, D, D. There we are, yeah, amendment. Yeah, up to D. Honorable Nkomo, do we agree?
Agreed, Chair.
And then there's a new clause 12, amending section 13 of the NPO Nonprofit Organizations Act.
There we are. A, B.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause, Jenny.
Clause 13.
Clause 13, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause.
Oh, I think we jumped out just a bit. Okay.
We don't have 14 and 15. We have adopted 13.
Yeah, so then clause 14.
Let's go to 14, Alan. I see in session.
That's what. And then 15.
Is my screen frozen? I only see 12. Huh? Oh, section 24.
Chair, section 24, which is the old clause 12, will now become clause 14.
Oh, this will become clause 14. 24.
Yes, amending section 24, it would now be clause 14.
Okay. No, now I have a better understanding. Agreed, honorable members, clause 14.
Agreed, sir.
Agreed, sir.
Agreed. The next clause?
Clause 15.
15.
Inserting the new chapter 3A and section 25A.
Okay. Yeah. There we are. Agreed, honorable members?
Agreed.
Agreed.
And then there's a proposed new clause 16.
Nonprofit Organization Act 1997 is hereby amended. Insertion of that three of the following subsection. Agreed, honorable members?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
And then clause 17?
Clause 17, which one is that?
Amending section 29 of the Nonprofit Organizations Act.
Oh, okay. There we are. By the substitution of the heading of the following heading, offenses and contraventions. Agreed, honorable members?
Agreed, sir.
Agreed. Honorable sir, your mic is on.
No, sir, it's fine. I have extended my reservation under the NPOs, but let's continue. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Pastor Steve. Let's move to the next clause, Janine.
Clause 18, amending section 1, subsection 1 of the FIC Act.
Okay. Clause 18, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Vomrolo. The next clause, Janine.
Clause 19, amending section 3 of the FIC Act.
Clause 19, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause.
Clause 20, Janine. Amending section 4 of the FIC Act.
Yeah, clause 20. Agreed, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair. Agreed.
Agreed, Comrade Zanin. The next clause, Janine.
Clause 21, amending section 5 of the FIC Act.
There we are, honorable members. 21.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Mshonisha Skosa. The next clause.
Clause 22, amending section 21B of the FIC Act.
There we are, honorable members. 22.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Jari. The next clause.
Clause 23, amending section 21C of the FIC Act.
Clause 23, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Omar Villati. The next clause, Janine.
Clause 24, amending section 21D of the FIC Act.
Honorable members, clause 24, agreed.
Agreed,
Chair. Agreed, Omar Villati. Next clause.
Clause 25, Clause 25, amending Section 21F of the FIC Act?
Honourable members, Clause 25, agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Morolom. Zanen. The next clause, Janine.
Clause 26, amending Section 21G of the FIC Act.
Honourable members, Clause 26.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Yoma Villetta. Next clause, Janine.
Clause 27, amending Section 21H of the FIC Act.
Clause 27, Honourable members, agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 28, yeah. Amending Section or substituting Section 26A of the FIC Act.
Honourable members, Clause 28, agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Jali. Next clause.
Would be Clause 29, amending Section 26B of the FIC Act.
Clause 29, Honourable Members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Agreed. Next clause.
Clause 30, amending Section 26C of the FIC Act.
Clause 30, Honourable Members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Chanel Roland. Next clause, Jenny.
Clause 31, amending Section 27A of the FIC Act.
Yeah. There we are, Honourable Members. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Next clause.
Clause 32, amending Section 28A of the FIC Act.
Honourable Members, Clause 32, agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Next clause.
Clause 33, amending Section 34 of the FIC Act.
Clause 33, Honourable Members, agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Noxie. The next clause, Jenny.
Clause 34, amending Section 35 of the FIC Act.
34, agreed, Honourable Members.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The next clause.
Clause 35, amending Section 36 of the FIC Act.
Honourable Members, Clause 35. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Next clause.
Clause 36, amending Section 37 of the FIC Act.
Honourable Members, Clause 36.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed, Noxie.
Clause 37, amending Section 40 of the FIC Act.
37, Honourable Members. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Next clause.
Clause 38, amending Section 41A of the FIC Act.
Honourable Members, Clause 38.
Agreed, too. Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Next clause.
Clause 39, amending Section 42 of the FIC Act.
That's 39. Honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Agreed. The next clause?
Clause 40, amending section 49A of the FIC Act.
Clause 40, honorable members?
Agreed.
Agreed. The next clause?
Clause 41, amending section 50 of the FIC Act.
41, honorable members, agree?
Agreed, Chair.
Agree. Next clause?
Clause 42, amending section 52 of the FIC Act.
42, honorable members, agree?
Agreed.
Next clause.
Clause 43, amending section 57 of the FIC Act, or substituting section 57 of the FIC Act.
Clause 43, honorable members, agree?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 44, amending section 59 of the FIC Act.
Clause 44, honorable members, agree?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 45, amending section 64 of the FIC Act.
45, honorable members, agree?
Agreed.
Clause 46, amending section 75 of the FIC Act.
Honorable members, clause 46.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 47, amending section 79A of the FIC Act.
Clause 47, honorable members, agreed?
Yes.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 48, amending section 79B of the FIC Act.
Clause 48, honorable members?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 49, amending section 79C of the FIC Act.
Honorable members, clause 49?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Noxie? The next clause, Janine.
Clause 50, amending Schedule 2 to the FIC Act.
Honorable members, clause 50, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 51, amending Schedule 3A to the FIC Act.
51, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 52, amending Schedule 3B to the FIC Act.
Clause 52, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 53, inserting Schedule 3C into the FIC Act.
53, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 54, amending the arrangement of sections of the FIC Act?
Clause 54, honorable members, agree?
Agree, okay. Chair.
Agree. Janine?
Clause 55, amending Section 1 of the Companies Act.
Clause 55, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 56, amending Section 33 of the Companies Act.
Clause 56, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Clause 57, amending Section 50 of the Companies Act.
Clause 57, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed.
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 Clause 58, amending Section 56 of the Companies Act.
Honorable members, clause 58, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 59, amending Section 69 of the Companies Act.
Clause 59, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Oh, I think clause 60, inserting amendments to amending Section 122 of the Companies Act.
Clause 60, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed to check.
Agreed.
Clause 61, amending the arrangement of sections of the Companies Act.
Clause 61, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Clause 62, amending Section 159 of the Financial Sector Regulation Act.
Honorable members, clause 62, agreed?
Agreed. Agreed.
Agreed.
Clause 63, inserting Chapter 11A and Sections 159A to 159C in the Financial Sector Regulation Act.
Clause 63, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
And then clause 64, amendment of the long title of the Financial Sector Regulation Act.
Clause 64, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 65, amendment of the regulation, amendment of arrangement of sections of the Financial Sector Regulation Act.
Clause 65, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed,
Chair. Agreed, Chair.
Agreed.
And finally, clause 66, the short title and commencement of the bill.
Short title, honorable members, agreed?
Agreed, sir.
Danke. So we have to adopt the bill as a whole. Advocate Jenkins, Alan, or we are done with the adoption. Now that we have also adopted the short title.
Chair, there needs to be a mover and seconder.
Okay, can somebody move for the adoption of the bill? Jali Sasani moves. Magoma Bileto, are you seconding?
I second chair.
There's a second man. Oh, Dr. George, you are back. Over to Dr. George, and then I'll come to Pastor Steve. Dr. George?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The DA will reserve its position on the entire bill. Thanks, Chair.
Secretariat, let's record the DA's position. Pastor Steve, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. We will also, the ACDP will also reserve its position. Thank you, Chair.
The ACDP reserves its position. Let it be recorded. The bill has been adopted. Alan, before we adjourn, is there any other business?
Yes, Chair. Now it's the committee report.
Okay. Can you flight it? We go to recommendations. Okay. The 661 agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 62.
Agreed.
63.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 664.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 65. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 66. Agreed.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. 67. Agreed. Dr. George?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Agreed. Let me take Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to make a comment here that we had a significant problem with the registration of NPOs by the Department of Social Development. We did not believe that would be doable, and we did not think it was desirable. I just wanted to record that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, let that be recorded. Thanks, Dr. George. 68.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. The committee agreed with AMEC.
Sorry, Chair.
Yeah.
Can I just go to paragraph 1.7? 1.7, right at the top, there was.
Okay.
1.7.
Assured.
There. During the briefing, the National Treasury and FIC assured. Assured who? I think they assured the committee, maybe? Deliberation by the committee, the National Treasury and the FIC assured. There's no noun there.
You
assured the committee or who?
Dr. Dr. Lope, Alan, Antonio. Antonio.
Maybe it was the committee. It was assured the committee.
Yes, because
Where's the research team and the content advisors?
Well, Chair, maybe we can suggest we just insert the words the committee.
Okay. Agreed.
And yes, Chair, and then 1.10, just slightly, so the insertion is assured the committee. I presume okay. That's, and then 1.10, there's a reference to POC, Datara 1.10. I think you just need to explain what that is in full, that we know what that is, but that we just need to put that out in full. Otherwise, people reading this will not know what it refers to, but that's just a slight amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Salt. So you will put the full name before the abbreviation of what it stands for. What does it stand for? So that I don't also assume that I know. Janine, what is this?
It is the Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorism and Related Activities Amendment Bill.
Okay. I hope write it to Alan so that we can capture it in the report. Okay. Any other comment on the report so that we adopt the report as a whole? Okay. There was a mover for the adoption of the report. Who seconded? It was Mabilet.
Yes, it was Mabilet.
Sure. Yeah.
Sorry, Chair. Can I just get the mover again?
Okay. Kwasan, was it you who was moving? Jali?
No, Chair. We're still dealing with paragraph by paragraph. We did not adopt the entire report. Yes.
Yeah. Now that we are done with the report, we have processed it. Can a member move for the adoption?
I so move, Chair.
Honorable Abraham moves for the adoption. Any second?
I second, Chair.
I so second, Chair.
Honorable Murolong second. Dr. George? Dr. George?
Thank you, Chair. Please could you record that the DA would reserve its position? Thank you.
Let's record the DA's position. Honorable Sir?
Now, Chair, would you also record the ACDP records its position? And I thought I'd put on my video just to record that as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, let's record the ACDP's position, Secretariat. The report has been adopted. Alan, any other business? Maybe announcements?
No, Chair. That concludes the meetings for this week. I'll send the schedule for next week later on.
Chair?
Okay. Honorable Swart, over to you.
No, I just want to extend my gratitude as well to the members of the National Treasury. We've come a long way, and thank you for understanding the challenges facing the NPO sector, and we will be engaging further, but I just wanted to appreciate the hard work that has been done under severe time constraints. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Pastor Steve. It was good to have you here. You were quite very active on the General Laws Amendment Bill. We benefited a lot from you. Thanks very much for your presence. Momo, are you back?
Is he leaving us? He mustn't leave us.
I think from here. When are you coming back, Dr. Pastor Steve?
You must speak to the chairman of the Justice Committee, Chair.
You must have
I've enjoyed my engagement on the Finance Committee. I remain an alternate member, so I'm watching closely what happens. And remember, Malabongwe Gamalen Kosi. Amen.
Amen. I agree with you 100%.
Yes. Momo, are you back?
Chair, he's still away. Apologies.
Bukila from here and Alan from here. The report is taken to the assembly. Any other process outstanding?
Chair, yes, the report will be sent to the National Assembly, or at least for ATC, so that will be scheduled in the National Assembly for debate. The amendments will take don't want to give a timeline, but it will probably be effected over the weekend because it must still go to all the relevant people, Advocate Jenkins, Janine and her team, just to check that all the amendments have been captured as the committee agreed to it. So that will in all likelihood take place over the weekend. So the bill, as adopted by the committee and in the correct format, will probably only be available on Monday.
Okay. Thanks very much, honorable members, National Treasury, FSCA, FIC, SARS, and all the entities and the departments which were involved in processing this bill. It was not an easy journey, and we understand that the bill was tabled late, but be that as it may, we're doing everything as this committee to make sure that this bill goes to the assembly and it gets adopted. It is not in the interest of any South African to see the country grey-listed or blacklisted, because that will have very dire consequences for the people of this country. So as Parliament, we'll make sure that we don't fail the country. It's in the national interest that a bill of this nature and also the regulations, the FIC regulations, be adopted. Look at the countries that have been blacklisted. I think there are two, but those which have been greylisted are a bit many, Mauritius and others, the consequences of greylisting. So we have to understand what we're dealing with. When you look at it on paper, you might think it's just a bill, a piece of paper, but it has got a significant impact on the economy of this country and the lives of the people of South Africa. So thanks very much to everybody who worked overnight. You remember, we should have adopted it last Tuesday, but there were issues. We wanted to make sure that we do the right thing. Hence, we wanted to make sure there's CS report. Then the minister wrote back and gave a background as to why was there an exemption. We also got the legal opinion. So all the documents are there to explain how the process has gone about to be where we are. We didn't want to take a shortcut just for compliance, because somebody out there was going to challenge the bill and the Constitutional Court was going to throw it out of the window. And they would have failed the people of South Africa, and this thing was going to follow us for the rest of our lives. So let's do things that are in the best interest of our country, not only in the best interest of our political parties. So thanks very much, everybody. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Long live the Chair.